60 senators say yes. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. We'll find out Wednesday when there's a vote on whether to proceed with that bipartisan infrastructure bill that Democrats want to pair with a lot more spending Republicans think is way too much. Fox's Rachel Sutherland has more live.
Dave, some Republicans are cooling on the idea of hiring more IRS agents to collect unpaid taxes, a key provision to help pay for the near trillion-dollar core infrastructure plan. GOP Congressman Warren Davidson of Ohio told the Fox Business Network,
"The money isn't there. Nobody's even lending it to us. It's just created. You know, poof, there's money. And I guess that's how they think it works."
Meanwhile, Bloomberg reports Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said progressives could tank the bipartisan bill if the Senate doesn't pass a $3.5 trillion proposal that includes climate initiatives and social programs. Dave?
Rachel, conservatives are pushing back on the White House push to help Facebook and other social media flag posts considered COVID misinformation, which the Surgeon General says is helping keep some people from getting a vaccine. Republican Senator Josh Hawley tells Fox,
"Coordination between big government and a big monopoly corporation, boy, that is scary stuff, and it really is censorship."
COVID cases have been on the rise in most of America, and in Los Angeles County, California, they're ordering people to put masks back on indoors starting tomorrow, even those who've been vaccinated, and some of them are not happy about it.
Because the county says hospitalizations are now at 452. That is up from last week. But the county also says, quote, "Every single patient that we've admitted for COVID is not yet fully vaccinated."
Fox's Trace Gallagher. Retail sales rose 0.6% over May, 18% over June 2020.
A sign of the economy reopening. Clothing and accessories stores saw sales up 47%. Food services and drinking places reported sales up more than 40% from a year ago.
That's Ginny Castola. America's listening to Fox News.
Leading members of Congress claim that America's military is under attack from the woke far left, and they say top generals are ignoring the threat. Now, Grant Stinchfield exposes the real dangers tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on Newsmax. Millions are tuning into Newsmax and Stinchfield. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. If your cable operator doesn't carry it, call them. Tell them you want it, or you can switch. Plus, download the free Newsmax app on your phone and start watching now. Newsmax is real news. Watch it today.
When our first responders and military die in the line of duty, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation pays off their mortgages, bringing families with young children stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes to give them their independence. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up Your Pickup Truck Store is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard, industry-leading quality, and trend-setting design that protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bedliner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bedliners, with nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bedliners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bedliners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in its brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Good Good morning, Yuma. 8:04 in the morning, Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggenberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage. Good morning, Russ Clark.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm good. You doing okay all day?
I'm doing okay.
Pulling cables.
I've had some equipment failure, but I'm all right.
Yeah, well, we'll leave that alone. So, good show so far this morning. Listen, lightening the mood just a little bit. You up for lightening the mood?
Absolutely, man. Okay. I'm for
so
open.
The last month, I've kind of gone through and gone back through all of the various random, silly questions that I've been asked over the years.
Oh.
And it started because I saw a post on social media by one of the major industry pundits, not going to say his name, but he was talking about how you don't need credit scores to get a loan and that the industry previously did manual underwrites, so you don't need any credit to get a home loan. And while that's true, you don't necessarily need a credit score, you know it's going to cost you a lot more money.
They probably don't say that.
They don't say that, yeah. But it's going to, because clearly the reason you and I get low interest rates right now is because you comply with the rules, and Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, VA say these scores are good, these scores are mediocre, these are bad, and your interest rates flow accordingly. So while you see people saying things like, hey, you don't need a good credit score, you don't even need any credit at all to get a mortgage, what they didn't say is it's going to cost you tens of thousands of dollars over the life of the loan, if not more,
right,
when you're doing that. So I spent, here, this just handed to you, I spent the last month coming up with, and I found 43 of them. It should be 44 because I had another one this last week.
You took time.
But, oh, I did. I had a blast. I laughed for a month putting this together. So here's the 43 unusual things I've been asked in my career. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so number one, during one of my refinance transactions, a client asked me if the new garage door springs they recently installed would increase their appraised value.
And what was the answer?
Well, no.
No, okay. And I hope that most people that do any kind of home improvement, like real home improvement, that's maintenance, that's home improvement, but I would hope they look at that, is that worth it if I'm going to sell my house in a year? But springs, maintenance.
Would you even know if it's a new spring or an old spring?
No, but I would know if the garage door worked or didn't work.
There you go. Okay, so number two, borrower asked if installing an aluminum boiler system in the home would increase the value. And my thought was, I kind of think the aluminum would melt.
Well, 1,400 degrees, so you can boil water before 1,400, but I've never heard of one.
I haven't either.
I don't know.
Okay, that was a good one. Here's one that was a little difficult to answer. My wife doesn't know I pay child support. Can we leave that off the application?
The answer is absolutely yes, but I'll find it. Because that's going to pop up.
Which does go to one of mine that didn't make the list, because this just happened this week and I'd already put this together. So, you know, when I go through a credit application, I ask you, okay, do you have this for? Do you have this credit card? We got to make sure the debt's right. And so husband and wife are sitting there and, you know, they're talking about what's going on. And said, okay, do you have this Victoria's Secrets? This has literally happened to me now twice in my career. I didn't put it on the list, but it happened again. She goes, no, I don't have a Victoria's Secrets account. Okay, good. Well, here's how you dispute it, and here's what you do. And less than 5 minutes later, he starts with the alligator sweat drops, and he starts turning pale.
He had a
Victoria's Secrets account.
Why is that a problem? He's buying a gift for his wife.
Well, because the comment that happened during the interview is, you've never bought me anything from Victoria's Secret.
Oh.
And so I didn't actually find out if he liked the big and tall section or if he was giving them somewhere else.
Doesn't matter. Seems to be a problem.
But it was a problem. I have not seen them since.
So know that before you buy a house. Everything is going to pop up.
Everything
Don't
in your
be
credit
surprised.
Report, weirdly yeah. enough, comes up. Number four, if I'm approved for $300,000 and I buy a home for $250,000, do you give me the difference in cash?
What was the answer?
No.
Oh,
now, unfortunately, we lend the lesser of the appraised value or the purchase price. That's it. Number five, if I buy a duplex, can I live in both sides?
I know the answer.
Well, the answer
you can
is
do anything you want.
You sure could. I don't know why you'd want to buy a duplex if you wanted to live in both sides. You got to clean two kitchens, but, you know, if you wanted to live in both sides, you sure could.
That's a weird question for sure.
Here's one of my favorites. Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Boyfriend, girlfriend came in to buy a home together. Each of them completed their own application. Both answered yes when it came to the, are you married?
Okay. There's got to be some follow-up questions.
Well, they were both married
to someone else,
and they wanted to buy a home together as boyfriend and girlfriend.
Can't do it, can you?
Well, you just have to qualify with the spouse's debt.
I was going
to
say,
the spouse is going to have to sign a disclaimer deed. So,
I was going to say, you got to get space. You can't do that in private, is what I mean.
Yeah,
you can't do that without a spouse's knowing.
It was kind of an awkward thing when I told them their spouses would have to sign the disclaimer deed because Arizona's a community property state.
Might as well bring all four of you in.
Oh, that'd be a great conversation, wouldn't it? Number seven, wife asked me not to tell her husband about the several credit cards she opened without his knowledge.
What'd you do?
I said, well, I'm not going to specifically point it out, but it's going to be right here on the application, the credit report. So
I'd say you can't get it off the report. If he reads the report, he's going to know.
Yeah. Okay, here's a good one. Ooh, this was this brings back memories. Couple came in wanting to refinance their home to pay off all of their debts, but husband didn't know about over $50,000 in credit card debt that the wife had.
Oh, no.
Now, read that last sentence.
Had to stand between them because he was going to slap her in the face.
Had to literally get in the middle because he didn't know about the $50,000 of additional debt.
And I didn't know your job was so hazardous.
Well, I didn't either, but they're
that's scary. And you hear those things happen. You do. But who walks into your office and thinking they're going to continue to hide it? You can't at that point.
You wouldn't think, but here's kind of the same thing. Couple had a home listed for sale. They probably had it listed for about a month. Now, this is before the market went crazy, obviously. Then they came in to get pre-approved to buy a bigger one. Their current mortgage payment was 6 months delinquent. He didn't know it. So she was paying the mortgage. They listed the home for sale, came in to get pre-qualified to buy a bigger house. And their home was literally going into foreclosure.
He
didn't know.
He thought the payment was made every month. Yeah. She's handling the checkbook. It's all done. And obviously she did know. It wasn't like, oh, my God, I forgot.
Thankfully, the home hadn't gone on under contract at that point. So I said, look, you got to stop. You can't sell it. You got to fix it because you're not going to get another home loan for the next 2 years because it was already in foreclosure.
2 years.
Yep.
Okay.
So that was an interesting one. Guy came in wanting to refinance his home, said he had just gotten married, and his new wife and kids moved right in after the honeymoon. However, his mortgage payment were 4 months behind. So he asked his wife to get pre-approved for the mortgage to see if she could refinance the house to save it so they wouldn't all have to move out.
Is that possible?
Well, technically prior to their marriage, it could have been, but now that they're married, it's community debt.
It's community.
And he deeded her on the home, so now she's already got something that shows it's going into foreclosure. Because after 3 months,
she's got the same ding on hers now.
On the public record.
Because they're married and they share finances.
Yep.
Obligations.
Interesting one, right?
Yeah, be careful when you get married. You got to check the credit first. Now I got something new to add to the list.
Okay, here's a little lighter. You'll love this one. Had a gentleman ask me, why do I have to pay my equity line of credit back? After all, it's my equity.
Okay.
No comment? Nothing?
No.
Come on. Okay. Number 12. Wife went to the restroom. Husband asked me to do the loan in his name only as he was planning on divorcing her during
Holy
the construction
crap.
Of the new loan.
Darren, what do you do?
I again say, well, Arizona's a community property state, so she will have to sign on the disclaimer deed if you close prior to your
divorce. Yeah,
some of the worst and most interesting conversations happen when one spouse...
So did they end up buying a house?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good. Good.
Again, not a great conversation. Had a veteran who had a dishonorable discharge and was upset because he could not get a VA loan. The government owed it to him just for enlisting, was his comment.
Now, wait, oh, he couldn't get one because he didn't qualify?
He was dishonorably discharged.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So dishonorable discharge means you didn't fulfill your contract with government, which means you
And how did you find that out? Did you go through the application, send it in, and then you got kicked back?
We request a certificate of eligibility from the VA, and it comes right back and says whether it is acceptable or not. And his DD-214 that he brought in clearly on the bottom said dishonorable discharge.
So you already knew it. And
I knew it, and he would have known it if he paid attention, but I went through the motions to get the copy of the certificate.
Well, he knew he was dishonorably discharged. It wasn't a surprise to him.
Right. Okay, here's a really good one. Client asked me, how will they know if I'm buying one home and not pretending to be someone else.
Well, that's your job.
That's my job. That's
ID. To make sure.
Yeah. That's what we call a straw buyer. That's when you're fraudulently defrauding the bank and trying to do something illegal.
You could lose your license over something
like
that.
Yes, let's not do that. And it's the weirdest thing. You know, you give me an ID that says Russ Clark, you pretty much have to be Russ Clark.
Well, and not only that, you do all the background check because you start checking employment and paychecks and bank records. You can't do it.
Right. Okay, so here, I know you're going to come up on a break, so we'll leave you with a light section here. A client asked me, which tax returns do you want? The ones I send the IRS or the ones I give the bank for my business?
I think I know the answer.
I think you do know the answer, so I say neither. You need to leave, and we'll talk to you later. So this is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
You may.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Good morning, everyone. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager, Academy Mortgage. We're talking Money Talk, and we're talking all kinds of goofy things that I've been asked by people over the years. Russ, are you having some good chuckles yet?
Well, no, a lot of it's concerns. Like, some of these people are way out of balance.
Well, that's why when they say common sense is the least common of all the senses. So we were just talking about number 15, IRS. Here's almost the same thing. Gentleman said, here's my tax returns, but these are not the ones I'm planning on sending to the IRS. Now,
or the ones that I give to the bank. In other words, they're creating multiple documents, one for banks, I'm assuming, to qualify for things, and then one to the IRS to pay taxes.
I had a guy years ago that he brought me a set of tax returns. Now, you know, you look at it, and he's self-employed. Bottom line, he made about $100,000 a year self-employed. Great. Kind of flipping through, what's he do? He owns restaurants. Well, I looked at his cost of goods sold, and his cost of goods sold were about $1,500. Now, you've been in business, and you're in business. Nobody makes $100,000 profit off of purchasing about $1,500 worth of food product.
Not in an industry I know about.
You know, in restaurant speak, you would need to buy something like $500,000 worth of food, sell it for $2 million worth of, you know, adding on labor and everything else. You might keep $50,000 to $100,000 profit, maybe. So when I pointed some things out, he goes, oh, well, I just moved the zero over a couple so I could qualify. I didn't think you'd catch it. Well, I caught it.
How could you not?
But see, you asked me something off air, so I said, look, here's the deal. You're fraudulently doing this. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Here's your tax returns. You need to go.
Get the hell out.
Now, not less than 3 months later, you know, because you always read the closings in the county recorder, he closed on a home. Another lender in town did it. This is years ago.
Uh-huh.
And less than 9 months after he closed, the home ended foreclosure because he clearly didn't have the money to pay for it.
Right.
So, you know, again, things like this happen all the time because people don't see that manipulating a few pieces of paper.
But let me ask you, and like I said, I mean, I know that you're a licensed professional, and that license is given to you by the state, and the state can take it back. And
state and federal, yes.
And even do criminal prosecution if you're in cahoots with something to avoid, you know, taxes or some criminal activity.
Yeah, well, I know there's a guy that was in Tucson that he's lost his license. He's facing a prison. And what he was doing is he was carbon copying certain things out of one file to use on another. So what I can tell you is certain income documents mysteriously wound up in multiple different home loan. Now, you know, to him, I think he's just thinking he's helping his customer out. But
he's expediting some loans.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
To the financial industry, he's defrauding, you know, the banks and the federal government.
But that stuff goes in a file. It's kept. It's
it
there.
Is. It is.
And if somebody decides something 5 years later, they can go back and look.
Yes. Okay. Goofy one. I love being a little bit sarcastic. Borrower signed the 45 pages of his closing documents and then looked up at me and said, hey, what did I just sign? I said, that's okay. You joined the Peace Corps.
That was me, right?
Come on. You know what you're signing.
But there's so much to sign. I mean, you may not know all the details, but...
Yes.
Gosh, I mean, as much as I've done them, I mean, I'll always ask before I even read it. I say, which one's this? Which one's that? And
yeah.
Then I'll scan it.
Yeah. But they all have headers on it, too.
Pretty much.
It does say. This one I love. Borrower asked me, he wrote a check for the credit report and the appraisal fee. And then he said, are you really going to cash the check? Because I have to deposit money before you do.
Money that you don't know about? So you're supposed to know everything.
I'm supposed to know everything, but if he's writing me a check for the fees that need to get paid and then has to go deposit money before we cash the check, yeah, let that go.
Yeah.
I didn't think you were really serious when you told me not to buy a car until after I closed.
That's your wasting your breath, right?
That was one of the fun ones.
And, of course, a car purchase could potentially throw you out of balance for being able to qualify.
Yes. Here's one. He said, and I quote, you said I needed money in my bank account, and you did not say that I really have to spend it for the down payment and closing costs. Well, where else would the down payment and closing costs come from? All the paperwork says you need these down payments and closing costs.
Awesome.
Oh, here, one of the best ones ever. Borrower had a high DTI. What's DTI stand for, Russ?
Don't remember.
Debt to income ratio.
Oh, debt to income.
And it basically happened because he had so many credit card payments and auto loans and stuff. So he asked me, if I stop paying one or two credit cards, does that allow me to qualify? Yep, that's the way to reduce your debt to income ratio right there. Here's a good one. I don't have any debts. It's all being charged off through my bankruptcy.
Oh, God. And they're buying a house?
Well, they're going to try.
Yeah,
they're going to
happen.
Why can't I get a zero interest rate loan? My car is 0%.
Well, yeah, because it's paid for by the car people.
Correct.
You get a house people to pay for it, that's fine.
Well, you can get a 0% interest rate loan. It's paying all cash.
Yeah,
pay 100% cash and you get 0% interest.
Yeah, one payment.
When I buy the home, can I delay the payments for a year?
Any?
No.
But now there are some accelerated payments, aren't there? You can do some loans that you pay less in the first year.
You can, and there's some things like that, but not no payments.
No zeros, yeah.
you asked me for 2 years' tax returns, but you never told me I really had to file them. Yeah.
Well, then it's not a tax return.
We just want you to create a tax.
Yeah.
This one, again, this is a common theme. Can my girlfriend be on the loan instead of my wife?
I don't know. I'd have to investigate.
You know, I'm not sure that will end well.
No.
Borrowers turned down because she could not come up with any supporting documents. Turns out she was in the witness protection program.
Oh, you really had that?
And her husband didn't know.
And you really had that?
Yeah.
Witness protection, and the husband didn't know?
No, nope. Husband didn't know, and she can't come up with anything.
Oh, that's awesome. I want to talk to her.
Yeah. I can't tell you who she is.
Okay.
I told the borrower they had to have a 25% debt ratio. He asked me if those were odds on his qualifying for the loan. I think he had a gambling problem.
Yeah, there you go.
This was one of the good ones. What do you mean I need cash reserves? I still have checks.
I think it's my 4-year-old granddaughter.
Oh, goodness.
I'll say that one.
Borrower called from the bank because she had to get a cashier's check. She called and asked who the check should be made out to. I told her the title company, and yep, that's who the payee was. The title company.
Good.
Not Chicago Title, not Pioneer Title.
The title company.
The title company.
And you learned something in that.
Yes.
You did.
Specificity is key. I should have been more.
Obviously, this person follows instructions well.
Very well. Barbara told me that he would be retiring in a few years and if it would affect his approval. Come to find out, the verification have said that he retired 2 weeks ago.
Do you get lied too much? Seriously?
It's honestly a common occurrence. You know how I know how to deal with my kids? Because I work as a mortgage banker. Seriously.
Okay.
All day long. That's a great example of, yeah, I'm going to retire in a few years, but when we send out the verification of employment to the employer and they say, yeah, he actually quit 2 weeks ago. He's now retired. He doesn't work here anymore.
They don't understand. I mean, I don't get the whole lying thing when you're talking about financial institutions and stuff like that, because you're going to check literally everything. You're Reagan. Trust but verify.
Yes.
Every single detail you verify.
Twice. 3 times. It feels like a root canal for most people.
I don't even know how to look somebody like that afterwards. I'm like, what the heck do you think you're doing? Can't lie to me.
Yeah. Here's a good one. This comment. I gave my car back to the dealership so I could afford to buy a house.
No.
No. That will show up as a repossession.
Right. No house either.
I asked a newlywed couple if either of them were obligated to pay child support. He said no. He said yes. He said he didn't think to mention it because he has never seen the child.
But he's made the payments.
He's made the payments. But
and the wife didn't know?
Wife didn't know.
That's awesome.
That happens often.
That's guts right there, buddy.
At the closing table, the borrowers were told to expect their payment coupons in the mail. When the first payment was due, they called and told me they didn't receive their discounted coupon, thinking that if they paid one time, they would get a 10 to 15% discount.
Well, that's the meaning of coupon to everybody.
But those are called payment coupons for everybody who has never seen those. I know you're old enough to remember the old coupon books.
Yeah, I am, but I think you need to change the terminology.
It's not my terminology. Borrower wanted to use VA benefits even though he fought in the war as part of the German.
Well, he can qualify under German rules.
So,
we don't know what those are.
Yeah, I don't know what those are. Number 36, husband had several AKAs and wife did not know and wanted to see the paperwork with the different aliases. He would not show her.
And that's a wife.
Yeah. So he would not give up his AKA statement on the credit report, literally grabbed the papers.
It's also known as.
Also known as. So all of the various names that he uses on his credit report, he would not show her, snatch the credit report.
How many people have
out.
AKAs? I don't.
Almost every one of them. Because it's incorrect spellings of your names. Remember, we've talked
about
this.
So I could be before. Russell Clark or Russ Clark.
Right. You could be Russell Clark. What's your middle initial?
T.
I promise you, on your credit report, there's probably a P there because, you know, P and T sound very similar when you're on the phone. But he literally would not show any of his also known as statements to his wife.
That's just odd.
Yeah.
Unless he's using, like, fake names or something.
Sure. Here's a good one. You ready?
Yeah.
Now, what does NSF stand for?
Non-sufficient funds.
Non-sufficient funds. This customer asked me, how many NSF checks can I get before it's a problem?
Well, there's a problem existed because you're asking me that question.
Okay.
Everyone's going to make a mistake occasionally, or it does happen.
Yeah,
and
mistake
it's not a big
is
deal.
Fine, but actually trying to figure out where the sweet spot is so you can still write more, that's a problem. Can I get pre-approved without you having to do a credit report on me?
No.
Number 39, a couple was applying for a loan, and the girlfriend asked, are you still married, or do you get divorced?
Asking for a loan, and the girlfriend, asked the boyfriend.
Yes, asked if he was finally divorced or if he's still married. Notice this thing comes up over and over. And his answer, which is not written on here, was, no, he's not divorced yet.
But how could you have a girlfriend? I thought you had to get...
I don't know. Okay.
That's terrible.
That is. Okay, number 40. Borrowers barely qualified for the loan due to the high car payment. Just before closing, they traded in their car where their payment was $500 and now is $750. Why did they trade in the car? Because he said they needed a truck to move.
So they're paying an extra $250 a month to buy a truck to move. They could have rented one for $19.99 down at U-Haul.
But they also didn't qualify after they bought the truck.
Figures.
So, I would just go rent the 1995 and pay the mileage and be done with it. But, you know, there's something, if you dig through the internet, within 6 months of somebody buying a home, they typically buy a new car. Within 6 months of buying a new car, they typically are looking for a new home. It's just that feeding the
get used to just acquiring debt.
Yep. Number 41, I had an attorney who gave me tax returns and W-2s that did not match. I told him that the federal withholdings did not match, so he gave me a new W-2 form that then they matched.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Think about that.
W-2s come from employers, not attorneys.
Correct. So
unless he was working for the attorney.
So he gave me his tax return and a W-2, and they didn't match. So when I pointed that out, he then brought in a new W-2 that matched.
I'm having troubles. I mean, this is going to be a lot of questions. He didn't get a house, did he?
No.
Okay.
No. When you bring in fraudulent paperwork, that's pretty much the end of my conversation. I mean,
have to protect your company, protect yourself.
There's no way around if you bring in, you know, multiple W-2s that show different amounts.
Where would you get them? I mean, I guess you could manufacture them. Or
you got a PC right here on your desktop. You could word process that
but
up.
All
like,
of that stuff is now online, and if you and when I go to do my taxes on TurboTax or something, they already know my W-2. I don't know how you get away with it anymore.
I don't know. Here's a good one. Guy came in to get a mortgage, but he wants to buy a home in Norway, and he couldn't understand how I couldn't do the financing because he's an American.
Because they didn't realize you're not an American. You don't care. No. Of course. Because it's got to be on U.S. soil.
Yeah.
It's got to be on U.S. soil because that's the only opportunity you have to protect the
loan.
But
he wanted to buy a home in Norway and use a...
And he can buy a home in Norway. He needs to use a company that offers loans in Norway.
Yep, and I have no idea what those requirements are. Every country has different criteria.
I think we should fly over there and find out.
Let's try.
Yeah.
You got a private plane? Come on, let's go.
I wish.
Number 43, had a client who was very upset because we wouldn't take his paper bag filled with money.
Why wouldn't you?
I can't prove it. Is that drug money? Is it running illegals across the border? I don't know where that cash comes from. So,
that's an interesting question because it's legal currency and you accept legal currency.
It is legal currency, but we have to be able to source that it is your money, not straw buyer's money.
Well,
not
it's his
illegally.
Bag.
No, if he had gone and deposited that money in the bank
but
and
you,
seasoned it and let it sit there for months,
I understand.
Now I could use it because it's on the bank statements, but I have to prove.
But he doesn't want to work within that system. He wants to stay cash.
He does not want
to
play.
And it generally is illegal activity. It doesn't have to be, but generally.
Not. And again, I'm not even going to say his was or wasn't.
No.
When you bring in a bag of cash and I can't prove that you actually have any money, that you've made any money, it's a problem because the rules are we have to prove that the USA Patriot Act says I have to prove who you are and where the dollars come from. It's no different than if you went into the bank to go deposit $10,000.
Right.
Is the bank going to keep a record of that because it's 10 grand or more?
I think they do.
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what some of these people want to avoid for whatever reason. They don't want to document that they have large amounts of cash or anything else.
Of course, I do business accounts. I don't think they keep it then, do they? In a business account?
They do.
Do they?
Yep.
Because in a business, businesses deposit more than that every day, some of them.
Correct. Okay. And they fill out those reports. The banks
every day.
Do every day. You know, I mean, what was my background? Pizza. So my background is pizza when I was 16, 17, 18 years old. Think of the company that I used to work for.
Yeah. Okay. Round Table.
No.
Oh, Peter
Piper.
Yeah.
Okay. Video games with quarters, lots of dollar bills,
right.
Good sales. So, you know, that was back before credit cards exploded. It was literally all cash.
Yeah.
And so there were days that you were taking money to the bank and you'd have to sit there for longer than normal and fill out all those reports because you're literally depositing cash that they had to have a record of where it came from. So
I never had to do that.
Yeah. But think of the businesses that you're in. Lots of credit cards, lots of checks, lots of accounts.
I doubt that 10% of what we do is cash. You know, but it happens.
So it's become,
but I never had to check like you.
It's become way less of an issue, but the cash in a paper bag, I mean, the best one is, and these are two funny ones, lady said, hey, I got cash under my mattress. I wish I could show these pictures on air. And I said, well, I can't validate that. I can't verify that this is your cash. She legitimately took a photograph and texted me a picture of her mattress lifting up with cash under the mattress. That was her way of verifying that she had cash under her mattress.
You didn't accept it?
I did not accept it. Funniest picture ever. Now, this is going to be a little crass for some of you, so with sensitive ears, plug your ears. When we have gift letters, so let's say you were going to gift your daughter money for the purchase of her house, right? Let's pretend it's you. Yeah. You would then have to wire the money. Here's how I would tell you to do it. Wire the money from your bank to the title company or to her bank. Mm-hmm. But we have to get the wire request from your bank that you fill out saying you requested it. I have to have the wire receipt showing it went in. And then I have to have the document from your bank showing it actually left your account.
Okay.
Well, this old, crusty, crotchety guy who just didn't want to play with anything, I said I need a copy of your wire request, the paper that you filled out at the bank. Now, he texted me a picture. Okay. Picture of him holding this up. But he's holding it in front of him. Now, everybody picture this. But he is buck naked except for white skivvies. So he's now taking a picture of himself in his white skivvies holding up a picture that I have to zoom into on the paper to get it.
I respect him so much.
So if you want to see that picture, you can come by the office.
Nope.
I will show you that picture. We're going to take a break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Good morning, everyone. Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, Russ Clark, talking
good morning.
Interesting things that have come up in the mortgage industry.
Yeah, your job's more exciting than I would have thought, but...
Well, now that you say that, I do want to... So, you need to look at this picture. Now, I'm handing you my phone, and what you're seeing, that's a wire request, right?
Right, okay. From a bank.
Now, zoom it in, like zoom it out, not bigger, smaller.
Oh, God.
Am I correct? Did he send me the picture?
Yeah, he's in
his skivvies.
Tidy whiteys. Yeah, yeah.
You thought I was kidding.
See, he ruined my whole morning.
Well, actually, you smiled pretty big there.
but it's so funny because he doesn't realize what he did.
Oh, I think he did.
I think
guaranteed with his persona that he had the entire time trying to gift his...
That's his rebellion.
I think that's his FU moment.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome. I respect him more.
But the irony is that document now has to be part of the file, because that's what I need is the
you
document.
Could crop it a little bit more.
Oh, I did not. I left the full thing in there. So that shot is in his daughter's file forever. I mean,
well, that probably reminds her. That reminds me of Dad.
Well, you know what? No, but nobody's ever going to see that ever again.
No.
But that's the kind of stuff that you run into, and I understand that.
Well, you know, you're probing into stuff that people say is confidential, none of your damn business. Mm-hmm. I just want a house, and I shouldn't have to.
Right.
And I'm sure that happens every day, at least in their minds, if they don't verbalize it.
It does.
Because it is. It's all personal stuff. It's none of your business. You're digging through stuff that's you have no rights to.
And, you know, you've heard me say before, I get to see everybody financially naked.
Well, and that's where
it
came from, that one picture.
I just prefer not to see the tidy whiteys for crying out loud.
There you go.
But those are just some of the things that you run into. And there's always weird things that you wouldn't think people would ask, but they ask, whether it's, hey, you know, I'm going to retire, but you actually did retire. Hey, you know, I'm going to hide this car from you. You know, we got to the closing table one time, and a gentleman bought himself a congratulatory present, went and bought about $1,000 Mustang, $1,000 a month payment.
Oh, a month? Okay.
Yeah. So, like, well, you know, here's the good news and the bad news is, that's a super cool car.
Yeah.
The bad news is, you're not qualifying for the house unless you figure out how to get that back off, because we weren't accounting for $1,000 a month worth of debt.
Throws you out of balance.
Yep.
You bring up a lot of things that are lies, and part of my communication training things that interest me is lie spotting and all that stuff. And when you start taking those classes and you're realizing that the average couple lies to their spouse 10% to 20% of the time, and lies are something of our culture that are accepted and given, and we accept them. We know that they're lying, and they're probably lying or whatever, but you can't lie in your business. You can't do it.
You shouldn't.
Well,
because you're going to get caught. It's just a matter of when.
Well, because it's got to be proven, every bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that frustrates people. But then when does a lie become like what we call a white lie? Well, that doesn't hurt anybody. Just a white lie, and it grows, and all of a sudden we're in
where's
there.
Can you define white versus non-white lie?
Yeah. No.
So if you stop and think about, though, I understand that people have the intention to pay the mortgage back. So everybody here, I think the intention was, hey, I need a home, I need to refinance, we need to do this. But you still have to be able to prove that I'm required the ability to repay access. I have to prove everybody has the income to repay the loan.
Right.
You have to prove that the credit score shows they have the character and the fortitude to pay it back.
And that they are who they say they are. There's a lot of things you have to do. And they can't lie about any of it.
You're not supposed to.
Well, if they do, you're not going to do the loan.
You ever seen the show Lie to Me?
Oh, gosh. Three times.
Okay.
Because that was part of the interest of mine, lie spotting and checking micro expressions and all those kind of things. Because that show was painstakingly accurate.
That was one of the best shows I've ever seen. And I'm very sad to say they only did the three seasons?
Yeah.
But for those of you who have not seen it, okay, what's a micro expression?
Well, that's an involuntary expression in your face from some stimulus, visual or auditory or whatever, that most people wouldn't even pick up unless you train to look for those.
So that show, what I loved about it is they would always take the expression that they were researching. And for those that don't know, it was kind of like a Law and Order, like a CSI type show, that they use this to catch people. But they would show those micro expressions, and then they would put two or three or four other examples, like politicians or celebrities up on, and show exactly how those came out. And I always wondered, was it their raw, hey, I'm going to plaster three or four politicians or celebrities up? Is that what got them off the air after 3 years? Or
I don't really know, but the person that did that show lied to me.
Mm-hmm.
Was actually one of the psychologists that had written a book on microexpressions and stuff. And he actually was part of that whole show on making sure that it was accurate.
Yeah, great, great show. And yeah. I would tell you, I had watched that show before, and I'm by no means an expert at all. But it's interesting, like when these stories that I just read to you come up, you can see it, coming up on people's faces as they're telling it. You just know something's coming down the road.
All of us notice them, but we don't recognize we're noticing. Like we get a feeling or something that this guy's lying to me, even though we don't know why we get the feeling. But once you study it, then you not only feel it, you can see some of the, some things that have changed in the expression, some things that are different. It doesn't meet the baseline of what that person is, and all of a sudden it's more than just a hunch. I saw something visible that would even lead me more directly to thinking it's not true.
Yeah,
and that's what cops and FBI agents. There's some excellent YouTube stuff out there from FBI agents that go through lie spotting and how to look for it and what baselines are and how they...
I need to start watching more of those for crying out loud, and maybe we'll come up with a whole other list for
next year. One way that police really get people to expose the lies is when people study a lie, they'll study it from start to finish, in a chain of events from start to finish, which was fine. You get that all down, and then the police will ask them backwards how it happened. And mentally, they have to stop and think. Like when I have to get the last four digits of my Social Security number, first thing I would just go, oh, let me see, it's 3-1. And to get up to the last four digits, it's the same thing in those chain of events. And if you have studied something that's a lie,
you know it one direction.
You study it as a chain of events versus actually being there. Yeah. So you ask them backwards. Remember that when you talk to your kids.
I will remember that. And for all, everybody who just listened, I almost thought Russ was going to give a Social Security number on the air.
Those were none of my numbers.
So, you know, we're talking about some just crazy things that happen. And you look at things that come up in mortgages. And sometimes it just doesn't make sense. Had a couple come in this week, and she was distraught, just angry and distraught because she had been to three other banks, and they won't refinance her home. So I asked why. You know, what's the scoop? She goes, well, they won't give me a better interest rate. You know, tell me a little bit more. Let's run your credit. She wouldn't let me run her credit, wouldn't let me do anything. So I said, look, do you have a mortgage statement? Let me at least see what you have. So she pulls up her mortgage statement on her phone.
Okay.
She has a 3% interest rate.
And she wants to refinance. Why?
Because she thinks that's a horrible interest rate, and her interest rates must be much lower than 3%. Because she got that rate when she was a first-time home buyer a year ago. And so she knows, not think, she knows interest rates are better when you're not a first-time home buyer, and she must be able to qualify for better than a 3% interest rate. On a 30-year fixed, with little to no equity in the home.
Amazing.
And you think, where did this come from? Because obviously she didn't just come up with that. You know, that's the input.
She's getting expert advice from another person doesn't know, mm-hmm. like a neighbor or a friend or somebody she met at the bingo night.
So yeah. So we pulled up the actual bond charts, pulled up rate sheets, showed here's where the market is, here's where the industry is.
Did she recognize you were lying to her?
Whatever. So, you know, we went through this whole thing, and I said, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of a bad interest rate? What do you think a bad interest rate is? She goes, well, 3 is bad. And I said, well, you know, here's where your first-time buyer-ness has gotten in the way of what the real historical economic-ness is, if you will. I said, when I bought my first home, And I'm not that old, but I'm older than you are, not by much, but I'm older than you are. Said, when I bought my first home, it was 7%. And that was a great rate.
Yeah, one
because
time.
That was back in 98. That was a great rate.
Yeah.
And then in like, I don't know, a year and a half later, we refinanced to 6 because I thought, man, it's amazing we get 6%. But, you know, 6 and 7 were great rates. 4s and 5s. Are amazing rates when you look at the historical accuracy of over the last 40 years. You know, 3%, you don't need to refinance. You don't need to spend $5,000 or $10,000 to try to buy your rate lower for no reason. I said, let me ask you a question. How long are you going to be in this home? What do you think her answer was?
She doesn't have any plans on leaving.
Oh, no.
No. Oh. She does?
This is her first home. She thinks she'll be in it maybe another year, and then they want to sell it and buy something much bigger that wouldn't be their first-time home buyer home. Why do you need to refinance if you're already planning on selling it anyway? She has no intention of keeping it as a rental. She has no intention of doing anything else other than selling it. So I went back down the road and said, okay, look, let's just pretend you could get a better interest rate and you're not going to pay down the discount point. What's an appraisal going to cost? What's my fees, titles fees, Yuma County recording fees? We're going to re-impound taxes and insurance. Yes, you're going to get some of that back. But if you look at all these costs, let's pretend on your loan right now, everything, maybe $4,000, just to come up with a rough number.
Yeah.
How much lower would your interest rate need to be to save $4,000 in a year on $200,000?
Oh.
She owes $200,000.
You need like a 2 points.
Yeah. So you would need a interest rate that's 2% lower to save back what it would cost you in one year.
Yeah.
So could you get a 1.00 30-year fixed?
Without paying? No.
No.
Not available.
Doesn't even exist. So
never has.
I said, you know, to the credit of the three other institutions you've been to, they didn't just take your money because you were trying to throw it at them. They actually did the right thing. Said there's no reason for you to refinance. You're already telling me you're not going to be there. You don't understand quite as much as you think you do here, and I want to help you, but there's no reason you need to be refinancing because if you're already thinking of buying something new, start saving your money and don't waste it on a refinance.
All right.
So, but those same kind of things lead me back to this paper is some people just have all the wrong information stuck in their noodles, and they just don't understand what they don't understand.
But they don't trust you, and by you, I mean institutions that they think are always trying to take advantage of them.
Correct.
And they put you in that same category, that you're one of the institutions mm-hmm. that's trying to take advantage of me, so I can't trust you. The lady at Bingo told me I couldn't trust you.
Well, I don't like the lady at Bingo either. So I think the lady at Bingo might have been number 16 on this list.
How do you overcome all that? I mean, that just takes time.
I don't know that you do. I think you do what you can honestly, and you sit down with people and deal with them direct and straightforward. And if you want to listen to me, great. And if you don't want to listen to me, I can't make you listen to me. But I can say at the end of the day, I would rather not refinance her, and I would rather not put somebody in a worse position.
Do you think she walked out with an understanding not to ask anymore and that she's not going to try to, or did she go to another institution?
If I was a betting man, I think she probably drove down the street and went to as many other banks as she can.
So she didn't believe you at all?
I think she realized I was telling the truth, but I think, you know how there's some people that just think there's always another way to do it?
But she had something going on. If she was able to get 3%, even in this market, mm-hmm. that means her credit history was in line and something her finances were mm-hmm. in line. She had an income and all those kind of things. So she's not without abilities.
It was a normal FHA loan, you know, when she took it out. Those are good rates. It wasn't uniquely high, wasn't uniquely low. That's just kind of an average interest rate for that time period. But there's no reason to try to get a lower interest rate because there's a not first-time homebuyer interest rate where, you know, again, it's just misinformation compounded with emotions.
To think there's a first-time buyer's rate. Is there anything that exists for first-time?
Well, you go back to the state of Arizona. State of Arizona is going to give us down payment assistance for first-time homebuyers, but you and I know they're going to have a higher interest rate.
Yeah, just skip the down payments.
There's programs out there for everything, but there is no free lunch.
Yeah.
And I think she was looking for somewhere there's another free lunch. There's a cheaper way to do it. And unfortunately, she just never took the time to pick up the Wall Street Journal or something to look at the historical interest rate charts.
You could pick up the internet and type in, and you know, interest rates available and all that stuff, and you're going to get a long list of things. And in fact, I've done it before where I've punched in average rates, and you'll get charged. So average rates in the United States for a 30-year or 15-year adjustable.
And they're very low, and they're going to stay this way until when the Fed eases mortgage-backed security purchasing, which they've talked about the easing, they haven't pulled the trigger yet, but the reason interest rates are so low is the federal government has stepped in and said, hey, we're going to basically buy all residential and commercial
property. I'm surprised they haven't raised, the Feds haven't raised it yet. I mean, we're seeing tons of information about inflation. Mm-hmm. And normally to slow that down, they try to dry up some of the money, and they're not.
They're not yet. So what does that tell you?
That we're going to get hit hard eventually, but they can't keep it up.
I don't think they can keep it up. And they've talked about easing the MBS purchase program, which as soon as they do that, then you'll start to see residential mortgages drift northwards. Haven't seen them cut commercial paper purchases yet, but again, same thing will happen. They've driven interest rates down to continue stimulating the consumer to purchase.
We're stimulating an economy when the inflation is showing signs of going nuts.
Yes.
None of that makes classical sense.
Correct. So to me, those two things should be mutually exclusive, and you shouldn't be doing both at the same time. But again, you and I don't have the control. We just have the wisdom to watch.
But what we're seeing isn't consistent with what has happened in prior years.
Correct. So it'll be an interesting thing to watch over the next 6, 12, 18 months. So I had fun sharing all these funny stories with you. For all of you who have family members that are serving, have served, if your family members are away from you right now, we do appreciate everything. We had a great 4th of July. Hope you had a safe and happy 4th of July with your families. Remember those men and women that are serving to protect this great country and this great flag of ours. This is Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
from the One Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio. This is News Talk 560 KB.